Maybe you or someone you know can identify with the roller coaster of emotions Kristen Clark has gone through. She married her husband in 2011.
And it honestly felt like a fairy tale. I felt like I was living a dream.
They talked about having children and chose to let the Lord decide on the timing.
And if he gives us kids right away, we'll accept that. If he doesn't, we'll accept that.
Little did Kristen and Zach know what that would mean.
And so the first year of our marriage goes by. We celebrate 1 year anniversary, not pregnant, and I'm thinking God's got it, and I was trusting him. And then as we hit our second anniversary, honestly, at that point, I was starting to get a little concerned, but I still wasn't super, super concerned about it. And then literally, I think it was a week or two after our 2 year anniversary, I found out I was pregnant. And we were so excited. And I just thought, oh, God's timing is so perfect. It's all working out just the way he wanted it to. Felt like I was trusting the Lord. Everything was great again. Fairy tale life continuing on. And then exactly 6.5 weeks into the pregnancy, I miscarried.
A few months later, Kristen's hopes were up cautiously. She was pregnant again.
And they did an ultrasound, and I saw the heartbeat. And they said, oh, you're really early, but we can see the little heartbeat. And then that night, 4 hours later, miscarried. And so to see the heartbeat on the screen, to see that little baby, to have that app, you know, all the pregnancy apps, and then to go home and to know it's all over again. Delete the app, back to square one. And that was so devastating again.
Infertility. Emotional roller coaster is a severe understatement. You're listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend, and I'm your host, Dana Gresh. We'll hear more from Kristen Clark in a bit. We'll hear about how she counseled her soul from God's word in the midst of that difficult time. You know, even though infertility isn't something my husband Bob and I have had to navigate personally, we know many who have. In fact, Kristen is a dear friend of mine, and I prayed with and for her. And, well, I just really want you to hear how the story has unfolded from her. So no spoiler alerts here. But this is a story every woman who has ever struggled with or who is walking with someone who is struggling with infertility needs to hear. Today, we're talking about how we can handle that kind of severe disappointment, the kind we feel when it seems like God is withholding a good thing from us. Kristen and Zach Clark wrestled with those emotional ups and downs for more than 10 years. They considered adoption and eventually did adopt, but they were careful to make sure they weren't adopting merely to fill a hole that only God should fill. Now, Kristen recorded what you're about to hear before they had children. We were at a gathering of women at the Revive Our Hearts headquarters in Southwest Michigan. Kristen was reflecting on yet another miscarriage 7 years into their marriage, and this one was later in the pregnancy, so it was even more traumatic and painful. Listen to how Kristen processed her emotions in a God-honoring and biblical way.
And so in those darkest moments following that miscarriage that weekend, I just felt like I could barely think. I would just cry. We would go on a walk and I would just cry the whole walk. I could hardly contain myself, but I knew God would pull us through that dark valley because he had time and time again. And we always, as humans, we want to ask why in those moments. And I was asking why God? And my husband and I had some really good conversations around that time. And he told me, he said, we don't understand all the whys, and even if we had the answer to our why questions, he said, it wouldn't provide peace. Even if God said, this is exactly what I'm doing, would it really provide the peace that our hearts are longing for? And then he told me, he said, if we're honest, what we really want when asking God why is for him to change our circumstances. That's what we're really wanting. We're saying, why are you doing this, God? Can you change this? Can you just take this away? Well, we have to trust. Here I am today, still no children, no physical children. God is growing my understanding of what it means to be fruitful and to produce life in a lot of other ways, but it's hard and I feel weary on this journey. I feel tired so often. Like, I just want to be done. God, can I have a different road, please? I'm from a big family, 8 kids. I never imagined this would be my story. I never imagined this would be the journey that God would have for me. But I have learned that he is so good and he is so trustworthy. And I know that I'm not the only person in this room listening to this who faces unfulfilled longings. Every single one of us, in some season or another, faces an unfulfilled longing. Even right now, you might have something in your life that's disappointing, a longing that's even good that God just has not chosen to fulfill in your life right now. And I have learned through the fire that how we choose to respond to these hard circumstances will either lead us down a path of sorrow and anxiety or down a path of joy and contentment. And when we face that unfulfilled longing, that desire, we have a choice we have to make. And it's either going to take us down sorrow and anxiety or joy and contentment in Christ. And how we respond, how we look to the Lord, that's going to determine the path that we walk on. For me, right now, my struggle, my unfulfilled longing is for children. It's infertility. But for you, maybe it's something, I know some of you are suffering with ongoing physical health challenges and you're longing to be healed. Maybe you're watching a family member suffer with a life-altering disease. You're crying out to God for healing. Maybe you're longing for a wayward child or other family member to know Christ, and it's so hard to watch them walk in darkness. Maybe you're desperate for God to restore your broken marriage. You're crying out to him to fulfill that longing. Maybe you're feeling lonely and wishing you had just one good close friend. You're saying, God, please, would you fulfill this? Maybe you're struggling in singleness and longing for marriage, a good, beautiful thing. And God is saying, not yet. That's not what I have for you yet. Maybe you have a job that you really want to get and it's just not happening, or longing to be more involved in ministry in some way, and that's just not what God has for you right now. I don't know the journey that you're on or what you're facing, but I can assure you that God does. He knows, he sees, he loves you, and he cares about you so deeply, and he is walking with you through that right now. One of the big lies that the enemy wants us to believe, that he wants to trap us in, I have seen this over and over again in my own life, in my own heart, is the crippling lie that I cannot be satisfied until I get blank. I cannot be satisfied until I have children of my own. And that's the lie that the enemy tells me, that unless I get that thing my heart is longing for, I can't be fully satisfied. And fill in the blank for whatever it is for you. But here is the truth. True joy and fulfillment doesn't come from getting what you want, but from surrendering your entire life to what God wants and trusting that his plan is truly good. That has been the anthem for my life. True joy and fulfillment doesn't come from getting what you want, but from surrendering your entire life to what God wants and trusting that his plan is truly good. I want you to open your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm 138, 8. And this verse has been a beacon of hope and light in my journey as I have walked this hard season of unfulfilled longing. It says in Psalm 138, verse 8, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever." The Lord will fulfill his purpose, not my purpose, not what I want on this earth. He will fulfill his purpose for me. And then my heart can respond to that truth and say, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever." And that is a truth that my heart can cling to and is clinging to even right now as I'm speaking. This verse has been such an anchor for me. So how do we find joy in the midst of unfulfilled longings? We all face them. We all know someone who's facing one. So how do we, as Christian women, find joy? How do we balance that desire for something so much, a good thing, and at the same time walk in joy where God has us right now in the midst of not giving us that desire? And I just want to quickly share with you three things that God has taught me in the darkest days on this journey, the hardest times on this journey that I'm walking on, and I hope they're an encouragement to you. This is how we as Christians can find true joy and fulfillment in the midst of our unfulfilled longings. Number one, when we humbly submit to God's story in our lives. The friction in my heart often arises because I'm more passionate about getting my story for my life than God's story for my life. When I focus on building my kingdom and what I want rather than what God wants, my focus gets way off. Early on in this struggle, a friend very graciously, very kindly asked me, she said, if God never gave you biological children of your own, would Christ be enough? And instantly I responded, well, of course, I love Jesus with all my heart, soul, and mind, you know, just the instant Christian answer. And then I went away and thought about it. If God never, ever gave me biological children of my own, would Christ be enough? And ladies, we have to wrestle at that heart level. That exposes what is on the throne of our hearts. That exposes who the king of our heart is. It exposes our idols. And for me, in that moment, I could not honestly answer that Jesus would be enough. And that exposed an area that I needed to grow in. And God has used that question to push me to Christ and to show me that Jesus is enough. Isaiah 46:9b says, I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Our God has a good story for our lives, but it may be a hard story, a challenging story, but it's his story, and he's building his kingdom. And when we humbly submit to that, then we can embrace what he has for us. We can embrace what's in front of us. Back to Psalm 138a, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. That is our greatest purpose. It is to trust the Lord to build his kingdom, and he gets to decide how we build it. That was a big thing I had to surrender. I don't get to decide. I would have decided way differently than the journey I'm on. God gets to decide how we build his kingdom, and then it's our job to humbly submit to his decisions. So the first way that we find true joy and fulfillment as Christian women is to humbly submit to God's story for our lives. And number two, to trust that God's plan is for our good. We have to trust that his plan is for our good at a heart level. I think in our day and age, when we hear the word good, at least for me, we think happy, getting what we want, having everything go our way. We think of good as all of our dreams coming true, right? The American dream, that's what we think of. But God's version of good isn't surface level like that. It is so much deeper because God knows that true satisfaction can only come from a thriving and genuine relationship with Christ. That's how we're satisfied. That is what's truly good. And so God, being all-knowing, writing our life stories, he will sovereignly bring in trials and give us unfulfilled longings because they show us our need for him, because he knows that as we look to him in those desires, he knows he will satisfy us in ways that those earthly desires never could. And that's God's good plan for us, and we can trust that. He is drawing us to himself and helping us to become more like Christ. Over the past 8 years of this journey, I have had many family members get pregnant, many friends. My sister that I love so much found out she was pregnant a week after my miscarriage. And those are real things, and those are hard. And you're balancing celebration and sorrow at the same time. But God is good, and he helps us walk through that. And as I've been surrounded by so many wonderful moms and pregnant women, God is helping me to see that I can celebrate with others as I trust that his plan is good for me. I can celebrate that his plan is good for them too. He has us all in different seasons. We cannot compare our life story, what God is doing in our lives, to someone else. We have to walk in our lane faithfully and say, thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in their life. He is good, and he has a unique story for each one of us. Psalm 119:68 reminds us of this. I've heard Nancy say this verse so many times, so it's become a theme in my own life. You are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. That is a promise we can cling to, that our God is good.
Our God is good. Amen. That's Kristen Clark, who, along with her husband, longed for children for many years before God added to their family through the adoption of two boys from Ukraine. And I remember when those boys came home. Oh, I loved seeing her face light up with joy. The Lord put these boys into her heart and home, and God, through adoption, made her a mother. But since then, oh wow, guess what? The Lord has filled Kristen's womb. You know, she never stopped praying and believing, even though she settled contentedly into a heart that could celebrate other moms. And last year, my friend gave birth to a precious baby girl. Now, all along the way, though, God taught her and her husband to trust in His plan, His timing. Let me introduce you to another couple, Randall and Rachel Payleitner. Here's how they realized that God's plan for their family was different from what they'd been thinking. This is a conversation that Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth had with Randall and Rachel.
So how long was it into your marriage before you realized that it was not going to be as easy or natural as you had thought?
Very quickly, I'd say months or so. And then we were realizing that this wasn't happening on the timetable that maybe we had envisioned or had pictured. And that was okay. But it was certainly about a year in, 2 year and a half in, when we realized, you know, there may be, without having necessarily this language to use at that time, there's maybe the story is going differently than we had thought it would.
So do you remember, Rachel, when the term infertility first maybe came onto your consciousness, about when it came to your ability to have children?
I would say it was probably about a year after we had been married, when we had kind of said, maybe we should be a little more intentional about trying to have a family. And it's only happened a few times in my life where I've kind of, I don't know if it's intuition, God speaking to my heart, but I just had this moment where I was like, this might be hard. This might be a challenge. We might be going through something bigger than we expected here.
We're on a different road than we thought we would be on. And maybe we've been on it and we didn't even know it.
Right. Because at what point do you realize we're not going to be able to have biological children? Was that harder for one of you than the other? Was it something you talked about easily? What, can you just unpack a little bit about what your journey was in that season?
I think we were very blessed to be able to easily talk about it.
Yeah.
We were open with each other.
That's right.
When we were sad, when we were angry at God, when we were frustrated.
That's right.
And we've known other couples to struggle with infertility, and it divided them.
Yeah.
For many different reasons.
That's right. It never came between us. It was always something we talk about. Some days were hard. Some days were very hard. Some days were okay. You know, you think about it every day. It's always there. Well, a piece of marriage counseling we got when we were doing pre-marital counseling was, whenever there's an issue, whatever it might be a, where's the cereal go, you know, or who takes the garbage out,
or
way bigger than that. Obviously, those are silly examples. But whatever the issue is, make sure that it's not between you. Make sure that it's something that that you can handle together, and that as you picture that issue, picture it on the other side of the room, and the two of you are tackling it together rather than having
not
it come
enemies.
Between you.
Yeah.
That's right. And this was something that was an issue, of course, and something that we came to realize over the course of months or even a year there. But it really never did come between us, although it did require us to be on the same page, as it were, together. Or else it could have. It was very hard, and I would still say for each of us is the hardest thing that we've dealt with in our lives. But it was always being dealt with together.
Were you praying for children?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you pray together?
Yes.
We did.
And were there points at which God's silence or lack of giving you children, did it ever challenge your view of God or make you ask why? Or how did you process it with Him?
I would say probably every day we asked why.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult to understand, because we know that God loves children and loves us.
That's right.
I think that was one of the other ways that, at least I'll speak for myself, I was blessed, is that I'd never doubted God's love for me, but I did question His silence or His perceived silence.
Yeah.
And I think believing that God loved me made a big difference because I still felt secure in that relationship.
And He knew us. He knew what we were going through. We know from Scripture, and we know from our previous experiences in life, while this was the most difficult thing we went through, it wasn't the first bump in the road or the first difficult thing. So we knew that we had a track record with God as our Savior, as our friend, as our protector, as our Father in heaven. We knew that he loved us. I agree with Rachel, of course. And that wasn't really ever in doubt. But it was, God, we know you love us. We know you love children. Here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're...
Where are they, you know?
We're kind. We love each other. We are...
Yeah, we're trying.
Capable.
We're trying.
providing a good home.
That's right. And we're open to it. And it wasn't happening.
And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, this is why it's so important to get to know who God is and what he's like.
Amen.
Before you hit the hard places.
Yeah.
Of course, in the hard places, you come to know more of
that. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But that's not the first step.
Exactly. So as we've talked about this book, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, we've hoped that it would encourage people who are in a hard place that God is trustworthy and he's faithful. But I've also hoped that it would help people who aren't yet in a hard place.
That's right.
Or aren't currently in a hard place to lay a foundation in their lives of the character of God and the trustworthiness of God. Because if that becomes your default concept that God does know what he's doing, he doesn't make mistakes, then when those hard things hit, they're still hard. Hard is hard, but there's context.
That's right.
Of the love of God, as you've said. So that was part of what prepared you, not only for this journey with infertility, but for further chapters that were yet to be written that you couldn't have imagined that point.
And a spiritual foundation as well as a relational one, relationships with our families, our extended families, relationships with friends, and in the local church as well. The idea that we were having this difficult season, these bumps in the road, this uncertain future, certainly different than we had planned, but we weren't alone. And we weren't alone because God was with us. We weren't alone because we had each other. Mm-hmm. And we weren't alone because we did have a wider circle of influence and help.
Yeah. Which is the family of God.
That's it.
How indispensable is that?
That's right.
For all of life, including going through these hard places. You know, the thing about the grace of God and trust in his faithfulness is that he invites us to face and experience the full hardness of loss, of pain, of grief, as he did for us. Mm. So we're not saying that if you're trusting God to write your story, then these things don't hurt.
That's right. Or it's all good.
Or it's all good. We're saying even in the bad, God has purposes, and he is at work in us and around us. And so this is an invitation to process.
That's right.
But always in the context of we don't do this alone, and we don't do this apart from the presence and the grace and the faithfulness of Christ.
And we're not like those who don't have hope.
Yeah,
exactly. We do have hope.
A lot of what we were talking about in those sessions was just being reminded about God's faithfulness to us. Mm-hmm. You know, he would often ask questions like, what are your feelings toward God as you're kind of working through that emotion? Mm-hmm. And so you get to talk about, I'm angry with God, or, I'm confused.
It's uncertain. I don't understand.
Is he trustworthy?
Yeah.
Can I trust him to write my story?
And a sweet thing about that is that we can also trust him with our rawness.
Yes.
We can be honest. We're not having to go before God and saying, I'm doing fine, when we're not.
Right.
And that he can handle our emotional weakness or need or frustration. And in the end, we can't be angry at God because God is good.
Right.
But we can say, God, here's how I'm feeling, and I need you to help me think right about you. So God can handle that.
There's more to Randall and Rachel Payleitner's story, and you can listen to it by clicking on a link at reviveourhearts.com/weekend. Find today's program, and the link is there. Infertility was something that many in the Bible struggled with, including Hannah, a woman who brought her desires before the Lord. I hope you'll listen to our daily radio program and podcast, Revive Our Hearts. Nancy's in a series all about Hannah, and you will be so encouraged by it. Also, I know that this program may have stirred up some pain in your heart and life. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you by name. Our prayer team is waiting to hear from you. You can submit your prayer requests at this special page, reviveourhearts.com/prayer. I hope you'll take advantage of this practical way that the Revive Our Hearts team can serve you. Here's Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth with some final thoughts.
Before we close, I want to read again the passage that Kristen shared at the end of her message. You might want to look it up yourself. Psalm 138, verse 8. What a powerful verse. And you know, when we affirm God's truth and counsel our hearts according to His word, even when we don't feel like it's true, well, what happens then is that we experience an infusion of God's grace. So I want that for you right now. Let me just take a moment to read that verse one more time. And I want you to repeat these words out loud, wherever you are, whether you're in your car with some littles in the back seat or walking on your treadmill or getting dressed for the day. Don't just nod your head as you listen. Affirm this truth with your heart and with your mouth. Let me read the verse, Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Now let me just say it one phrase at a time, and would you repeat that after me? The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Just say that. And then, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Say it. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Okay, what more could we need than that? Now we have to ask ourselves, do I really believe that? Do I believe that God has a purpose for me and that He will fulfill that purpose? Sometimes we believe it's true, sometimes we don't, but it really doesn't matter because it's still true. Even when we don't feel like it's the case, that's the time to go on record and to stand on the promises of God. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Amen.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.